Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here today on the program. Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Denham and your phone calls right here, 1-800-229-3000. It's a great day for New Life.
Before I ask my question, I first want to say how much I appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
You know something? I failed as a husband.
I had a question, if I could, please.
Okay.
The rest of it, I just felt like I was kind of getting shined on. So now I get it.
I want to know about your dad, what he was like.
He was an angry person.
That's a big part of your age.
I think having you be a little bit more involved says, I'm a woman and you're doing this to women. This is going to affect your relationship with women. And so for him to feel what that's like in the presence of a woman, I think is important.
Yeah.
That was good, Jill.
People with addictive personalities are like boa constrictors.
Well, I just asked, did you play with dynamite when you were a child?
No.
Because this is playing with dynamite. Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Denham. You guys doing all right today?
We are.
I'm great. Good to be with you.
I just found out. I asked Mylon if he would baptize me in the Jordan River.
Because we're all going to Israel on June the 6th, and it might, I don't know, they told me there were two seats left, that two people could still go with us if they wanted
to. So come. That's going to be so exciting. I told him he just made my month. I'm going to be baptized in a few days.
I'm honored to be asked.
I know.
Do you know we're one of the bigger groups to ever go over there?
Really?
Yeah, because we're over 100 people.
Yeah.
And usually the groups are like 30 or 50 and stuff. So what's cool is that we'll set out in the morning and one bus goes one place, one bus goes another, and we switch places. We switch places throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool. So anyway, if you want to join us going to Israel, I think there are two seats left. I'll be there. My daughter will be there. Madeline, we're going. And Mylon's going. Dr. John Townsend's going. And
Dr. Sherry Denham.
And Dr. Sherry Denham.
And so, for music,
Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Wow.
All right.
You know, under the stars.
We're going to go right to our calls. And if you're calling, hold on. We'll get to you. But first of all, let's go to Michelle, who has been holding for 3 hours, listens on WYLL. And thank you, Michelle, for holding.
Well, sure. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. How could we help you today?
Well, actually, I called you guys back about 8 months ago with a situation with my stepson. He was stealing from us, and he's had drug problems off and on, and he'd lost his job, and his girlfriend was pregnant, and you guys were very helpful in advising that my husband and I and my stepson all get counseling together, and that did help. We started, down a path with that. We ended up stopping the counseling. He wasn't getting a job or making any effort to do anything. But just for a little update, we have a grandson now.
Okay.
A wonderful, healthy grandson. But right now I really need some advice, or we need some advice on boundaries with him. He's still living with us.
Okay.
He has not had a job since September when he lost his job.
All right.
His girlfriend doesn't have a job. And there's this baby now, and she's actually going to be moving in with us with the baby as well, and because she lives with her parents and sisters in a little tiny apartment, and there really isn't much room for them.
Okay.
So I'm finding myself pretty anxious at the thought of once she's in the house with the baby and my stepson's there too, he has no motivation to start building a life. That we're just kind of taking care of everything.
Where's your husband in all this?
Just as frustrated as I am. I mean, he's kind of has trouble with follow through.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty good at like saying this is what needs to happen, and then it doesn't happen, and mm-hmm. so then what do we do at that point?
Okay. So the question for us is,
how to set boundaries and then stick to them, I guess.
Okay.
Well, we've got some suggestions.
We do.
Okay.
And great that you're looking into all this and asking this stuff now rather than after it all happened. So hold on. I hope this was going to be worth a 3-hour wait. We're going to do everything we can.
Oh, the pressure is on.
Yeah, we'll do everything we can to make it worth it. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, or you go to the website newlife.com, and that's also the place where you could support us. We really do need your help. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Denham. What was your question for me?
I was just looking forward to this call with Michelle.
Okay. Michelle, yeah. All right. We've got some help for you with those boundary things. Mylon, you want to start?
Well, Michelle, have you ever heard the phrase possession is 9/10 of the law?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a very important phrase because once this is your grandson, right?
Yes.
Okay, once your grandson and his girlfriend and the baby move in?
Yeah, there's not a lot we can do then.
Well, that's the point. Possession is 9/10 of the law. Once they've set up camp, it's really hard to get that, you know, them to move out. So where you and your husband need to go, and even with that counselor, you need to create a contract that is in your heart and your head and your feet that both of you agree on ahead of time that the kids sign before the girlfriend move in and the baby is here, and you say, okay, you have exactly 6 months from today. We will house you and care for you for 6 months. You have only 6 months. What will happen on the day of the 6 month? There will be an eviction. Okay, you guys must leave in 6 months. We're giving you 6 months notice. Now that's a lot of time to go figure out how to get a job, get child care, but they better start today working to make that happen.
Well, and we're going to evaluate progress every 30 days.
Yeah. Now, I don't care if you make it, you know, 3 months or 6 months or 9 months, but just be very clear and create a contract and say you can't move in until you sign this. And
well, there's one thing if I can just interrupt, because we tried to do that with getting a job earlier on in the pregnancy and, you know, saying that, you know, this baby's coming, you need to have a job. And through the counseling, we found out she referred him to a psychiatrist, and now he's on medication for depression and anxiety, which is helping.
Right.
But he has, like, a social phobia, and he admitted to us that he's never had any job where he wasn't abusing drugs because he has such a phobia.
That is a wonderful piece of information to have, and that's a great diagnosis, and it's a great cause and effect piece for understanding why he has sat still. Social anxiety disorder is a terrible problem.
Is he using now?
Not that we know of. No, I don't think he has any money that he can be using.
Okay.
But right now he's really trying to clean things up. I mean, he absolutely wants to be a good dad. And
okay, that's
really
why
trying to get things.
I appreciate that, and I get that. But he's going to have to learn to live with that. How old is he again?
21. He'll be 22.
Okay, so he's 21 years old. So the point being is, I said, that's why the timetable can be variable. This is an important piece of information. He's going to have to learn to live with this the rest of his life. He's not anxious enough to get a girl pregnant. He's not anxious enough to create a baby. But what he must learn to do is to learn to live with this, and medication may be a part of his life. I'm simply saying, if you don't have a plan, he'll take advantage of it at every turn.
So, Mylon, let me ask a question. I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate here. Why would you even open your door to them? Why would you even say yes? Because we have a long history of someone who has not taken responsibility. I think it's just extending the process already. I don't think it's going to be helpful. In my mind's eye, I think there might be some expectations here more frustration, right?
There is another smart lady's opinion.
Yeah.
I kept hearing, just say no, well, and support them in another way.
It's another opinion.
Right.
You see, you could take that 6 months and you could turn it into 6 months, we'll pay your rent.
Yeah,
you see
or
what
we'll
I'm
pay
saying?
For therapy for right. you. We'll pay for well, baby's diapers.
I was trying to make one point. Her point was they are moving in. Okay, so I was she said they were, and that's part of what I was saying.
Right, right.
So I think your idea is a great idea. I'm not disagreeing with Sherry at all. That may be a better plan, but what I'm saying is you guys better get your act together and understand what your limits will be, and they have to be firm, even if there's tears, even if there's whatever. You got to have those firm things.
It's almost like the grandbaby creates this whole other fear and guilt layer.
Yeah, because we're just feeling like, we would take care of this baby no matter what, but, we would kick him out if we had to.
Well, here's the best thing you can do for this baby. Is to move the parents toward responsible human living.
And that's one of the reasons we want them, that we think it's okay that they live with us.
Okay, but letting them live with you with no letting them live with you with no end point and all that, does not help your baby. That helps the baby temporarily, but this baby's going to be around a long time. Mm-hmm. And so you're really doing a greater thing.
It's like enabling them to stay helpless. And that...
Well, and we've got another little portion right now. She's living with her parents, and her parents, I didn't really realize until the baby was born how much they do this, but they baby her a lot. A lot. And like, they're staying up with the baby at night, even though they have to work the next day, so she can sleep and things like that.
Kind of like you baby your son?
Well, I don't know. We have not for the last several years.
So what would it feel like to say, we're not able to take you in? We love you. We love you. What would that feel like?
I would probably be more afraid of the baby being raised not in our house. I don't know.
That's the issue right there. That is the issue right there, Michelle, because I think you're taking on responsibility that's ultimately theirs. When they get hungry enough, he's gonna go get food for his family.
What he does is he comes to us and says, oh, well, we need diapers. And I said, he said, oh, well, her parents said that you guys need to buy some diapers now because they've been buying them. I said, no, we don't have to buy diapers. You need to buy diapers.
Yeah. So
and so
said,
then what
well,
happened?
They've been buying them, and now when I don't have any money, so can you guys buy some?
Then you may say as an option, well, I tell you what, we really need the yard mowed, fertilized, and we need this thing trimmed up. If you can do that this afternoon, I can give you $20
there
for
go,
that.
We actually have been doing that. My husband gives him a list of things that he can do.
But let me quote some scripture to you, okay? Mm-hmm. Let me quote the scriptures that tell you to do things out of fear and anxiety. Okay, we're done. There are no scriptures, see? And for fear and anxiety to be your motive, you're missing an opportunity to teach these kids to be responsible and not dependent on other people.
There's a whole group of parents called helicopter parents that hover over their children so that they don't grow up because they're trying to bind their own fear and anxiety. At some point, you need to let go. And you're going to need to get it.
Yeah, we've done that so much with him when he's lived on his own several times. We've actually kicked him out at least three times.
Okay, but you're taking him back in and nothing's changed.
Yeah, now with the baby, we don't.
See, you fed into the problem when you then took him back in.
Yeah, it was always with conditions, and, he did have a job for about a year and a half.
Conditions that you didn't live up to, conditions that you didn't enforce, because you love him and you care about him, and he knows how to get all the stuff he wants out of you, kind of like a baby does. And I just want you to see that there's a higher calling here. And here's the thing. We're giving you a way to have a problem for about 6 months. The way you're headed with no criteria and all this, you're going to end up with a 5, 10, 15-year problem, and it's just going to be a mess.
And see, that's how I see it. When I look at it, I think, we're going to be, they're going to live here forever. I just, that's all I can see.
Okay, but you can't see it.
He has horribly ruined credit.
Okay, but you can't.
Thousands of dollars to people.
Michelle, you can't just see it. You've got to do something about that.
I mean, sometimes the really painful thing, Michelle, is sometimes parents have to get to a point that they may even lose the opportunity to parent their child for a little bit when social services steps in because they're not feeding their child.
Right.
And then grandma and grandpa do take care of the baby for a while until they get their life together. And I'm hoping that doesn't happen for you guys, but you need to get into Al-Anon. You guys need to take a hard stance now because there is not enough change to make me think that he's ready to come in your home.
Okay. I hope that's helpful to you.
So this, again, this is a grandson they're taking care of. So we would wonder, kind of like the question you asked some days ago, Steve, to someone who said, are you feeling guilty and compensating?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this would be another thing that Michelle and her husband have to look at. You
yeah.
know, if their child, you know, mom or dad has failed, are they overcompensating right
they
now?
Are. For, yeah.
And that's really important.
Yep.
All right. All right, let's talk to Joy from Long Beach, California, KKLA. She listens to, hello, Joy. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome. How could we help you?
My question is, how do I continue to heal? I've been a victim of domestic violence, been married for 7 years. I did file a police report this time, and I'm just really torn about ending the relationship.
Well, okay. All right. What you want to do is help him, right?
Well, I want to help myself right now.
Okay, good.
I can't really do a lot about
what happened when you filed the police report?
Well, that's still pending. Nothing's really happened so far, and because he has a prior, he's really pressuring me about not pressing charges.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do?
It was I don't really want to say.
But it was bad.
Yeah.
Was it physical abuse?
Yeah, they took pictures at the police department.
Okay. Are you guys living together?
We're married, and we have two small children.
Okay. And so every day he's asking you to drop those charges, right?
Well, not every day. You know, we don't talk every day. But
What's going to cause you to not drop the charges?
Well, I am going to press the charges.
Good.
That's not even an issue. But at this point, everyone's telling me that I don't really have grounds for divorce and that...
Well, we shouldn't be talking about divorce here. We should be talking about babies being safe, you being safe.
Right.
Babies watching violence.
Yeah, him getting help. That's what we need to be looking at right now.
I feel like I need some help.
Okay. Well, you do. You need support and help. You need some options. If the police do nothing, I think you and the kids probably need a safe place to go so you're not in jeopardy.
Hey, Joy, have you ever been in a battered women's support group?
I did go once, and it was just really scary to me.
Why was it scary?
It just seemed really intense, and the women were really angry, and it was way too emotional for me. I was already having a lot of anxiety about stuff. I've
mm-hmm.
lost about 20 pounds in the last 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I just haven't been really sleeping well. And
is the thing. You're used to his rage and anger.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to me that you could go to a battered women's support group and feel the anger and rage coming from the women and have a hard time knowing what to do with that. It's like you've lost your own set of anger. Like an anger that's going to help you get safe.
Yeah, yeah, that's how I feel. And some people are so amazed that I'm doing so well, but I just don't feel angry. I don't really feel angry. I feel really sad and kind of broken.
Uh-huh.
But I just don't feel angry. I feel really just kind of nothing.
And that's why you're staying.
Well, I'm not. He's out. He had to get his own place. That was a boundary that I just.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. That's good that he's out of there.
Mm-hmm. But
well, you, we got a minute. What should she do?
I know what I would tell you, Joy, to go back to another Batters Women's Support Group.
Yeah, that'd be good.
You need to go and you need to stay. You need to feel and deal with the emotions that come up in that group. Because you're isolated, you're alone, and I hear the weakness. I hear you feeling small. And you need to get around some women that can help you get stronger and find your voice and self-protect your kids and yourself.
All right. I hope that's helpful. Let me send you Healing is a Choice and Regret-Free Living. Regret-Free Living just out in paperback. I hope that those will be a blessing to you.
Thank you.
And God bless you there.
Don't give up. Keep walking into safety in the light. You know, keep walking into some relationships with some women.
Yeah.
Lock arms. They'll be there for you.
There are other women who've listened to this. And, you know, the main number one priority is safety. That's number one. We'll take a break and come back for more of New Life Live right after this.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our eating disorder treatment clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuta that my life was spared.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Denham. Mylon, you had a comment about that last call?
Well, victims and pleasers have underdeveloped anger.
Okay.
They're afraid to get angry. Okay. What's that?
I said, you make it so simple and clear.
Well, they do. They have undeveloped. And as a recovering pleaser, I know that I was afraid to get angry. And so I love it that Joy is feeling sad, and I'm happy that she has that emotion. But mm-hmm. until we have the same kind of anger Jesus did, when something wasn't right, he was angry at something not being right. And so we have to develop that. Secondly, I would say that it's also important, even though they're separated, I love that she's beginning to put boundaries into her life. Mm-hmm. But the other thing she needs to do is make her husband prove himself. See, all the church people who say, divorce is wrong, I love what you said, Steve. We're not talking divorce here. We're talking how to stay safe.
Right.
And so the husband needs to prove that he's worthy to come back in and be in the presence of those three people. And if he doesn't prove himself, stay separated for 10 years, if you need to, until he's willing to prove himself that he's worthy of coming back in and has earned her trust.
Otherwise, your kids are exposed to something very, very evil.
Well, I loved what Sherry said. The children are getting exposed to violence, and we know that violence is a perpetuated from generation to generation pattern.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
I hope something we've said will help it get better. Let's go to Amy from Denver, Colorado. KRKS is the station. Hello, Amy. Amy?
Hello?
Hi. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Good. What's the question for us?
Okay. Well, I'm 22.
Okay.
And I'm graduating from college. And I'll be, staying in the same town that I graduated from, but a lot of my friends are leaving, so I'm not really sure, who I'm really going to live with.
Right.
And so I've been checking on Craigslist and kind of emailing people, and I've noticed a lot of houses are mixed gender.
Yes.
With males and females.
Right.
And I kind of mentioned to my parents that I was looking at some houses that were mixed gender.
Well, I bet they were excited.
Yeah,
I'm seeing. I bet they're very excited about that. Did you stay in a dorm at the university?
I stayed in a dorm for 1 year, and then I've lived in apartments and houses with other girls.
Yeah, and none of that was co-ed, right?
The dorms, I personally lived on a floor with all females, but some of the dorms have both males and females, but never sharing the same room.
Okay. What do you guys think? One option might be to respond to an ad where you've got men and women staying in the same...
I guess I'm curious, Amy. What about you is looking at those? What's the allure, I guess? That's probably the best way to ask it.
Well, for me, I grew up with a brother. And so, I don't know, it's almost more comfortable for me to be living with a male... in that sense. And I've just noticed, right now I live in a house with five girls. And it's not, it's not bad, but there's a lot of unnecessary drama.
So
with a lot of girls.
I get it. What about if you were to be with two girls or one girl? Or you know what I mean? Smaller.
Yeah, I've done that, and that's fine. It's just I've noticed, on Craigslist especially, it's kind of hit or miss if it's all female or,
I don't know. There's
a big mixture
something.
Of it. And I'm looking for cheap rent,
I know, but you know what?
A
there's
lot of the cheaper rent. I'm like, oh, it's a mixed house.
There's something, okay. Amy, that I kind of feel like you're wanting to do this, but you don't want to look like you're actually doing it. Like you're maybe not being really honest with yourself about something that you really want.
I'm not sure I really understand.
Well, I'm just wondering, here you are getting to pick where you're going to live, and you're kind of going, well, maybe I'll do this mixed thing, friends, right? Maybe you'll kind of have the idea to look like friends or whatever. But even with friends, there was lots of commingling going on. And it's interesting that you're not just saying, you know what? I'm going to just choose to live with girls. There's something alluring about it, but I don't know that you're being honest with yourself about that.
I see. Okay.
You're kind of wanting maybe to have us say it's okay, or maybe trying to find somebody that's saying it's okay to do that.
Well, I guess more for me, I'm not really sure why it's not okay. Because
let me share with
you. In a college town, a lot of people I knew did do that.
Let me share with you a reality. I took my daughter's... to buy bathing suits. I have two daughters and two sons. And I took my daughters to buy bathing suits from the time that they were able to put one on as a young adolescent to the time they were 17 years old. And as I bought them bathing suits, I taught them how men think and how this bathing suit's a good idea and that one's not a good idea. And all men are predators. And, if they're talking to you on the beach and being overly friendly, they're really probably because they're visually stimulated sexually, there's a lot going on in that guy's head you don't think is going on. Because don't make the mistake, like a lot of women do, of thinking that males think the way you do and just projecting your thought patterns on. Now, your brother, he didn't chase you around the house, in your underwear or walk around in his. And the difference between a guy who's sharing a house and Craigslist would be on the lowest rung of my ladder as to something I would trust. Any guy in that house is going to be different than a friendly brother, okay? He's going to be a guy who's going to be chasing a guy who's got eyes, it's not a good idea.
And there aren't a lot of guys that like to date someone and drop them off at the house where they're living with a male. It's just tough.
Yeah, I'm just saying to you, you're going to walk into something here that is not like a brother.
Yeah, and here's another way to do it. Do I want something that might be okay, or do I want to do something that I know is really best?
Yeah, and why, if she's calling New Life, why not the church bulletin board? Where's the Christian community Christian around this girl?
All right. Hope that's helpful to you. We'll be back after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married? The ideal husband? The amazing dad? The great lover? But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. I hope that the person we were talking to,
Amy,
knows the spirit in which we were trying to be big brothers to her. You know?
Well, you can't be naive as to how men are, okay?
Well, that's so true, because men think very differently than women. And we kind of want to believe, we kind of want to null our senses to believe that guys are just like not really that sexual. But honestly, they have so many sexual thoughts in a minute. I've been chatting recently with a few men because I'm doing the Wives in the Battle, and so I'm trying to understand the male mind, if I could even try.
Right.
But anyway, I'm trying to do it. And they're telling me things that is just a wake-up call for me. Because I didn't realize they think about it that much, about sexuality.
Right.
And so I'm imagining her living with this group of guys that are, if they were really honest with you, if you could see a videotape on their forehead of what they were thinking, would you feel really comfortable with that? And it doesn't free you up to walk around, you know, in the way that you would walk around if you were kicking it with a bunch of girls.
Let me make a sub point.
Okay.
Okay, so imagine the man who's married, who has all that stuff going, and his wife has withdrawn herself from sexual intimacy.
Oh.
You can see how he's going to feel justified to go out and do whatever he wants to do. And it's just a huge problem. And that's why the Bible is so smart about not withholding ourselves from each other. You need to.
Can I make a sub point to your sub point?
Double sub. Yeah.
Double sub. Okay, let's do a double sub.
Sub squared.
Sub square rooted. And the reason women withdraw from sexuality is if they feel that the only thing the husband is interested in is her body.
Yeah. Or she's been abused before and it's
But more than that, that one's the obvious one. Yeah. The non-obvious one is if, in fact, she feels he never talks to me any other time, he never pays any attention to me until he wants to have sex. And we say the way to have a great sex life a better sex life is if you love and care for your wife on an emotional basis, which the Bible also talks about.
Yeah. So, all right. Good deal. Tim Coldiron is on our board, and he is the head of Promise Village, and Tim is on the line. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about this wonderful place called Promise Village today?
Well, we're a residential treatment center. We're in Michigan, about an hour north of Detroit, on a 70-acre ranch, and the kids who come, we deal with struggling children and troubled teens who really need another chance in life, and parents will refer and send their kids here, kids who maybe are struggling with disrespect and oppositionality and rebellion and underachieving at school. And really, parents have tried many, many things, and it seems like whatever they've tried has not gotten results. And so this is a pretty intensive level of treatment and intervention. Mm. But for many kids, it is a wonderful opportunity for them really to turn their lives around, and restoration and transformation to take place with them and within their family. And so we really love the opportunity. The kids get a lot of individual therapy and family therapy and group therapy and so on.
Now, you also, you don't just take kids that act like animals. You take animals that love kids.
We do. We do animal-assisted and equine therapy. Mm-hmm. So we have a menagerie of animals, about 13 horses and miniature horses and donkeys and, you know, dogs in the home and exotic birds. And you've been out to visit and seen the place.
Wonderful.
So we've got all kinds of llamas and so on. So it's we see the animals as therapists working with the kids, and the power of the animals, especially the equine therapy, is incredible.
All right. If somebody wants to know about your place, maybe they want to create one themselves, just like what you've done.
Well,
do they call?
Parents certainly can give a call there to 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and they'll connect parents to us. And but if there's somebody out there, we're excited. Kellogg Foundation, in cooperation with them, they came out, checked our program out. They were excited about it, did due diligence on the program, saw outcomes, and said, hey, we want to help you find others who may want to open up a program, a group home, a residential treatment center, children's home, therapeutic boarding school, and we'd love to see your model go national. And so we have started our national training center and are looking for people who want to make a difference in the lives of children and teens in a profound way.
How do people inquire about that if they want to become a part of your model and let's say they want to do something here in the West Coast? How would they do that?
Well, if they can give us a call. Again, they can call there at New Life or give us a call at 1-877-A-PROMISE. Or the best way probably right now is just to go on our website at www.promisevillage.com. And right on the homepage there, they'll see the National Training Initiative. It'll take them to a link, and they can learn all about what we're offering. In August, we have a discovery session where they can learn about how they can open up a place like Promise Village.
Well, Tim, thanks for what you do. Thanks for joining us here, and I hope somebody will give you a call or give us a call, either one.
Bless you. We look forward to equipping others to make a difference in the lives of kids and many other teenagers in order to help them become world changers and kingdom changers in the days ahead.
All
thanks
right.
for all you do, Steve.
Okay, man.
And New Life.
We appreciate you. Promise Village. It is an amazing place. I have been there, and they just do a tremendous job.
Tim's on your board.
He is. And he's
got a great heart.
Huge. Let's go to Chelsea from Dana Point, California. She listens on KKLA. Hello, Chelsea.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing good today. How are you?
Doing all right. How could we help you?
Well, recently, about the past year and a half or so, I've been struggling with acne. And I've always not had the best self-esteem, but recently it's taken a really big downfall. It's making me very depressed, very isolated. And I was just wondering if you had any tips on how to boost my self-esteem.
Okay. And you've gone to the dermatologist and
I
done that whole thing?
I have tried everything under the sun. I've tried every product, every doctor, every kind of, dermatologist, every treatment, and it just seems like nothing works.
Yeah. Mm. I'm so sorry. I know that's got to be very, very disappointing, and I've been through this with one of the kids, and it's just not easy. Sherry, what are you thinking? Did you ever struggle with it?
Well, I'm listening to you, Chelsea, and I'm just thinking it must feel so frustrating to try so many things and then to not have the change. I'm wondering how your heart is with it all. I mean, you know, how do you feel about yourself?
Well, it's hard to think so positive because, you know, my love life is, you know, non-existent, and, you know, I feel like boys don't think I'm pretty, and, you know, I'm always the single one of the group, so I don't know, it's heavy on my heart. Mm.
Has it caused you said you were feeling kind of isolated, to pull away from girlfriends as well?
Not so much. I feel like the only time I am out of being isolated or out of depression is when it's just girls, or, you know, when we're going to the mall and shopping or going to get our nails done. I tend to feel good about myself when, you know, I buy a new outfit or dress up and put lots of makeup on to try and cover myself, but everything I do only seems temporary.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is a complex problem. And I have a simple mind, okay? So I don't want you to see this as the ultimate answer, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that God does weird things that we don't understand. And this might be a way of God protecting you from a male-female relationship right now for whatever reason. And I don't know what that reason would be, and you may not know, and you wouldn't know for 10 years. But God has not forgotten you, and God is there with you and wants to walk through you with this, and God knows what a challenge this is. He also knows how much character can come out of this if you walk through it in a healthy way rather than shut down or do something desperate. But I'm telling you, there's got to be a purpose in this, and there's got to be a way that God can use this to your benefit. I it's just all that I can think of right now. Mylon, what are you thinking?
Chelsea, how old are you?
I'm 18.
Oh, okay. See, that's an important piece of the puzzle. Have you ever noticed any pattern tied into emotions, like when you're stressed, when you are going through a hard time, maybe you've had conflict, that your acne flares up? Have you ever seen any patterns that you can identify?
Not really. It just started a year and a half ago, and it's been pretty consistent ever since.
Okay, so it started when you were 16, about something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, and was that with the onset of menstruation, or was it tied to anything physiological?
No, that was seventh grade.
Okay, well, so I think the question I have for you are two thoughts. One, there's a possibility you could grow out of this. You know, just, you know, you get to a point where you get a little bit older. A lot of people do grow out of this naturally. But I'd also want to look for some of the patterns tied into the emotional and relational distresses. And did anything happen when you were 16, 16 and a half that sort of was an emotional prompting to maybe a physiological response? And I would just encourage you to look at that.
Okay, we'll talk about this amongst ourselves at the break. We'll come back and we'll come deal back. With
so
it
stay
again.
Stay on the line.
Stay on the line.
We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, they can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen, and He's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. We're talking with Chelsea. It's a tough issue when all of a sudden this thing you can't control, acne, comes up and you're 16, 17, 18 years old. And Mylon, you were talking, you were going down a path there.
Well, Chelsea, do you have any thoughts about what I ask? Is there anything distinctive that happened emotionally to you around 16?
Not that I can think of. I was in the middle of a relationship at that point. Nothing was devastating in my life or nothing emotionally, you know, disturbing happened.
Okay. Any transitions, any losses?
No.
Okay. So your life really, there was no substantive emotional change that took place. What happened to that relationship?
It ended about almost a year ago, last August.
So how distressing was that relationship to you if it was in the process of ending? Was there a level of distress associated with the relationship?
It was definitely a bad breakup, but I don't see how that has a correlation with the acne just because it started before then.
I'm just asking. I'm not saying I know there's a correlation. I'm just asking how emotionally, because sometimes when we're emotionally distraught, lots of things happen to us physiologically. It's called your body somatic response, a body response to a contained emotional feeling inside. And so we hold it in, but it leaks out in other ways.
Okay, let me give you an example of that, Chelsea. I was rocking along in my marriage, and all of a sudden I started having heart palpitations.
Yeah.
And people said to me, well, you're under some kind of weird stress, and that's why this thing is coming up. And I said, I don't have anything stressful. Come on. Well, the person I was married to was having an affair, and there were these, you know, unidentified tensions and stuff that I wasn't addressing, didn't really see. And so it was manifesting itself in this physical form, and it went away. I don't have them now. And so you can always, when you get off the phone, just forget what we're saying. But just want to go down this path. You know, you might have had a little outbreak, and it might have gone away, but because of the bad breakup, it, you know, it kind of develops this path. Like pain, it's very hard to get pain to go away once you have pain, chronic pain. And so it's just something for you to look at and deal with a counselor, to be sure that you drain out all of the emotional toxins from your system so that it you've got the greatest chance of healing.
Okay.
That's all we're saying. I of course, cannot know 100% that there's any kind of correlation, right. But I always ask people that question. For a lot of other reasons too, Chelsea, like Steve was saying, a lot of people come into my office and they have lots of emotion, or they have lots of physiological symptoms, and they go to doctors looking to get things taken care of. I've heard everything from ringing in the ears to heart palpitations to chest pressure to upset stomachs to colitis to ulcers to just you name it. It goes on and on and on, the kinds of things that we hear.
Hey, one final thing. You've gone to professionals. Have you searched the internet for wacky cures?
Yeah, I've tried, you know, at-home stuff, mixing, you know, avocado mash.
Right, right.
And all that kind of stuff.
Right,
but.
Okay. Well, I wish we had a better answer for you, but we do. We're sorry you're going through that, and just really hope that something happens and changes.
Yeah, and I just appreciate what Mylan said, because I see it from a brain perspective. You know, when people are in relationships or going through things that are stressful to them, I am able to look at their brains, you know, with a SPECT imaging, and it's amazing once they start dealing with the issues, their brain actually quiets down, and some of their psychosomatic behaviors go away. I just was working with a gal with trauma recently, and we got to some core traumas, and she's actually physiologically gotten some healing that she's been living with for years.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there is really a psychosomatic connection.
Yeah. Well, let me send you a copy of this. We got this little devotional journal, Journey to Grace. It's a 40-day devotional, and wish we had some better answers for you, but just we pray for you. We care about this, and hope you have a better day tomorrow.
And I would take, when she goes with her friends and she goes shopping at the mall, I would, if she hasn't done so already, and we may be speaking to other people in the audience, share with those people what your struggle is. Just say, you know.
Say it out loud.
Yeah, say it out loud. To say out loud with the people you're around, you know, I'm glad we're going. I love these trips. It gives me a moment to feel good about myself. Most of the time, I don't feel good. And so I think it's important to let people know where we're struggling, because the body of Christ is supposed to be the place where we bear one another's burdens, encourage one another, and comfort one another.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen very often within the church, unfortunately.
No. Okay, well, I had acne. I feel this, and it's not good.
What was it like for you?
It's horrible. It was horrible.
You know,
I had to.
How old were you?
Well, I had one breakout, you know, when I was in college, and then another one afterwards, and I had to go find this green lotion that neutralized the red.
Hmm.
It was just humiliating, embarrassing, and I'm glad I don't have to deal with it.
Was there an emotional correlation at those moments? Was there stress and pressure going on?
Yes, there was.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what was sad was, you know what area was most affected by me? My nose.
Mm.
I would walk around with a pimple on, you know, it's just the most obvious place.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't want to go through that again.
You know what I hate most about being 60?
What?
You get pimples and wrinkles at the same time. I hate that personally.
Yeah.
You get them both. I mean, you all think that you grow out of it, and then all of a sudden.
I was hoping by 60 I could just get rid of the pimples by then, you know?
Whoa, look at that. We're almost out of time. Let me share with you that if you have a small group or a study group that's using New Life material, would you call us and let us know, and let us put you on our register of groups? Our group there at Heartland, we had about 30 people with a wonderful speaker last Sunday. It was just great. But a lot of groups are cropping up. You can start a group of Lose It for Life or Healing is a Choice. It's just absolutely amazing, all the things that you can do by calling Ryan and asking about the small groups and being on the register or getting one started. A life recovery group is especially helpful to many, many people. As I mentioned earlier, this June the 19th, which is Father's Day, I'll be preaching. The title will be How to Be a Great Father Like Me. No, I'm just kidding. We'll talk about 7 things to fatherhood. And if you support this ministry, we will send you a copy of Journey to Grace. It's a 40-day devotional and journal. We would love for you to have that. And you know that we need your help. We always need help in the summer, and it seems like people take off and their support sometimes takes off. And we've had such a great response recently from folks. And if you haven't responded, it'd be great if you decided, okay, I've been meaning to do this. I'm going to do it. I'll help these people out. I'll make a one-time gift, or I'll join Club New Life. But if you benefit from the program and you've been a long-time listener, we've had so many people say, I listened for 10 years, and I finally did what I'd been meaning to do for a long time. You just pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you go to newlife.com. Newlife.com, there's a button there. You pick it, or push it, or click it, whatever.
Well, it's easy for most of us to push buttons, I find.
True. And so that way you can support this ministry. But if you need some help, we really do want to help. You've got counselors all over, resources, things like that. And just call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or go to newlife.com. Thanks, Mylan, for being here. Really appreciate
glad
you.
Glad to be here. Always
thanks,
glad.
Thanks, Sherry. Appreciate you.
Great to be here.
Yep. It's a privilege.
Yeah. And thanks for drawing me out. All right. Hope you have a great day today. We're going to be here next time on New Life Live. You come and join us. In the meantime, newlife.com. It's a great website. Go there.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.